Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, for that introduction, and thank you for joining us for Reading the Word. What we're doing, as time is permitting here on Friday afternoons, we are looking at Psalm 119, a beautiful passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, almost in the dead center, the middle of the Bible. I want to encourage you to take your copy of God's Word. If you don't have one, of course, you could find it online or get in contact with us. We'd love to help you with that if you honestly don't have one. What we're doing is we're examining it in 8-verse sections. There are 22 8-verse sections because there are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's how the psalm is divided up for us. That's how we'll study it. And each verse in those 8 sections begin with that certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet, not in English, but in the Hebrew alphabet. And also, each of those 8 verses kind of go along the same central theme. The main thesis, the main thought for Psalm 119 is the beauty, the glory of the Word of God. We're currently in the Cheth section, which is the 8th section. Would you read with me verses 57 through 64? Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. We left off, we had just examined verse 59. Let's pick up in verse 60 where he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, positively here, he says he made haste. Now, the book of Acts, the history of the Lord's church, shows just how quickly people obeyed the gospel. Frequently it says same hour, immediately, straightway. You never hear of them saying, well, I'm ready to obey the gospel, and then they sign a list, and 6 months later when a major quote-unquote holiday rolls around, they obey the gospel. No, they're done usually within the same hour, if they can help it. Brother J.W. McGarvey, who was writing around the time of the Civil War, he theorized that if you were to baptize one, you could baptize one person a minute. If Peter began preaching his gospel sermon at 9 o'clock in the morning in Acts chapter 2, he says, I'm paraphrasing here, and then finished by noon, they would have baptized all 3,000 people by 6 p.m., and that's when the Jewish day ended. It would have been a different day. They made haste. They quickly acted. Now, negatively in verse 60, he delayed not. He did not procrastinate. And procrastination's always been the thief of souls. It's often been said, the procrastinator, he loves the whooshing sound a deadline makes as it flies by him, because he's not thinking about that. A person once told Brother Robert R. Taylor Jr., and I'm borrowing this from his wonderful book, Studies in Psalm 119. They told him, they said, Brother Taylor, or they called him Preacher, said, Preacher, when I get my life straightened out, I'm going to obey the gospel. And Brother Taylor said they never did, because when they finally got their life straightened out, they sit there lying in their casket, and it was the time of their funeral. Delay not. Verse 61, he talks about the bands of the wicked. That's more like a cord or a rope than a snare, than a band or a company of men. The American Standard Version 1901 says that they are wrapped around him. So in the midst of all his trouble, he did not forget God. Now, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. He's not like the prodigal son. The prodigal son had forgotten the word of God, more importantly, the word of his father there in that parable, and he doesn't see a need to return. That's found in Luke 15, by the way. In verse 62, he says, at midnight, I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Unlike the people of Noah's day in Genesis 6, or the people in Micah's day in Micah 2, I want you to know, one of my favorite keyword phrases in the Bible is rose early. And if you contact me through my website, it's thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources. I'll give you a list I've compiled of the phrase rose early. It appears every time somebody has to make a major decision or they have to go before a major battle. I want you to notice this about different timing, though. In Mark 1:35, the Bible tells us that Jesus rose early to pray. But also tells us in Luke 6 and verse 12, Jesus prayed all night before he selected his apostles. That was a big deal he had. He spent the entire night in prayer. One morning, Matthew 14 verse 22 and following, of one morning in the life of our Lord here on this earth, it says he prayed till about 3 o'clock in the morning. After Samuel learned of the tragic fall of Saul, Samuel spent an entire night in prayer. The psalmist says at midnight, I will give thee thanks. Verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. This would be the Old Testament counterpart of what we call New Testament fellowship. Here's the thing. Our friends, they're either going to A, strengthen us spiritually, or B, they're going to strangle us spiritually. You can't have it both ways. When Paul wrote to those in 1 Corinthians 15:33, I feel you know this passage. Evil companions corrupt good morals. We need friends that will strengthen us toward God. And lastly, oh, by the way, if you need to get rid of friends because it makes you have a better walk with God, you'll only be benefited in the long run. I would rather lose friends yet have a home in heaven than keep their friendship, have them draw me away or influence me to be drawn away and miss heaven. Heaven, as I've seen on many church signs this county and all over the places I've driven, heaven, don't miss it for the world. Verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. The psalmist was never content with the amount of biblical knowledge that he has. We should not be content where we're at. We should always be looking to increase and to grow more. And that's the 8th section of Psalm 119. That is Cheth. Join me on the other side of this break, and we'll look at the 10th section of Psalm 119.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around on the other side of that break. Thank you, Brother Dearman, for mentioning our worship times and where we're located at the Wood Church of Christ. You would be our honored guest. We'd love to have you. Please come out and visit with us sometime. As we're continuing our examination of Psalm 119, we find ourselves now at the 10th section. That's verses 65 through 72 that corresponds to our English letter of T. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good, and teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. As we're looking at this, we need to remind ourselves every verse in this section of Teth, 65 through 72, begins with that letter of Teth. And that's close to our letter T, by the way. Now, Adam Clark, in his commentary, he made a striking comment. I'll paraphrase it here for you. But basically, he says that there are not many Hebrew words that begin with the letter Teth or their T. There's just not a whole lot of words in that language. It's the opposite in English. You pick up a Merriam-Webster dictionary, for instance, you have at least 88 pages of words that start with the letter T. Not that way in Hebrews. Why am I pointing this out? Or in the Hebrew. Why am I pointing this out? Because it just shows you how intently the author of this, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had to be to start every verse with their T. Verse 65, Thou hast dealt well according to thy servant, O Lord. This reminds me of a rhetorical question that's asked at the end of Genesis 18:25. It says, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, of course he will. It's a rhetorical question. It's not one that needs an answer. Notice who he addresses this plea to in verse 65. He says, O Lord. He's not praying to a departed saint. He's not praying to a departed person, to an organization, to a man on this earth, or a woman on this earth, or an image on this earth. He is addressing this plea to the God in heaven. And notice he says, I've done well according to the word of God. Verse 66, Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. I'm reminded here of a passage in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Now, judgment here, by the way, you also think of it as taste. Philippians 1:21, For me to live is to Christ, and die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am a strait betwixt two, Paul says, having a desire to depart, be with Christ, which is better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul wanted to go home to heaven. He knew he'd been faithful. He wanted his reward, but he knew that those in Philippi needed him to stay on this earth to impart wisdom to them. I think about what Gus Nichols said one time, great gospel preacher of days gone by. He said, ignorance of the Bible, and watch this, is the most damnable sin of this age. Gus Nichols, and I'll agree with him, ignorance of the Bible is the most damnable sin of this age. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to grow in God. Verse 67 talks about being afflicted. That affliction, that could be any trial that besets humanity. Now, the psalmist was acquainted with grief, affliction, etc. If it's David, we know some of the things he went through. If it's not David, everybody is acquainted with grief. And so he says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. You know, afflictions will either make us A, bitter, or B, better. Either bitter or better. James 1:25, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 68, Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Goodness is relative with us. Yet it's absolute and it's perfect with the Lord. We sing a song, God is so good. He's so good to me. Don't talk about it being relative. If you and I sat down and we both had, I like steak, I don't get it often, but if we both had a filet mignon steak, I could taste it medium well, it's how I like it. I could taste it and I could say, this is a good steak. And you could maybe not get a good cut of meat, or maybe you don't like steak, and you'd say, well, Brother Justin, I don't think it was a good steak. See, it's relative between you and I. With God, there is no relativity. It is all good all the time. Verse 69, The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. This is not the first time that he is lashed out against them. Couple that with verse 21, verse 51, and he'll do it again at least three more times. Forged lies, though, they made him more determined now than ever to be faithful and loyal to the Lord. As we look at verse 70, we have that phrase, Their heart is as fat as grease. Notice he says in verse 69, I will keep the word with the whole heart. And then he says, The wicked's heart is fat as grease. It is a hardened, fat heart. It's not lean with truth or integrity, but it's fat with the worldliness, prosperity, earthly comforts, etc. I think about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. The rich man had a fat heart, but Lazarus was lean for righteousness and for truth. Verse 71, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, he says. I think about Job. Job is a better man in chapter 42 than Job is in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Why? Because he was afflicted and he learned how to deal with those things and he grew in faith and grew in pleasing with God. James 1, 2, and 3, my favorite verse in the New Testament. My brethren, count it joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He doesn't say if, perhaps, or it might happen. He says, count it joy when you fall. It's the same thing as what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke to him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye without chastisement, whereof all are sons, and ye are bastards and not sons, furthermore we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall not we rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised there. Bye. We're punished, and it makes us better. I'll join you next week, Lord willing. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.